I think there is a clear reason why 30% of respondents to the recent Monmouth University poll that believe President Joe Biden's victory in 2020 was thanks to voter fraud in some capacity, with 2 in 3 Republicans making up a huge portion of that percentage. What is also fascinating is 59% said he won the election, quote, fair and square. That to me is the more interesting number. 2020 was the year where all election laws changed. Ballot harvesting was an issue. A lot of voters who normally wouldn't have voted went out to vote. Where I come down on this is Joe Biden won the election. However, in an election that was decided by close margins, fair and square maybe isn't the right phrase to use. I mean, social media companies like Meta actively suppressed negative stories on the then former vice president and tried to hide the Hunter Biden laptop story, which NPR, who is supposed to be unbiased, deliberately tiptoed around. Many voters said they would have changed their vote if they knew about it. So back to the initial prompt, though. There is a clear reason why there is serious doubt in our elections. Though states like Florida finished the count without a hitch, Arizona had voter machine issues on the day, voters were turned away in some instances, and it took days to finalize the vote. All this to say, we need to figure this out plain and simple. We need a single day for voting. The mail-in ballot system doesn't work. We need the election day to be a national holiday that people have off. Yes, we can figure it out for people in the hospital, disabilities, but for the overall majority, it needs to be in person. Finally, we need voter ID. The idea that it's racist or anti-voter or anti-poor person, all this is gibberish and hilarious, honestly. If I need my ID to identify myself to a cop when I get pulled over, to get a loan, to walk into a bar, to get a job, why don't I need to show some form of identification to prove I'm a United States citizen to vote? Well, it is because the Democrats want felons, illegals, dead individuals, and green card holders to be able to vote. I mean, looking at New York just recently, we talked about this a couple weeks ago where they tried to put a bill forward to allow green card holders to vote in their local elections. That is not how this works. You need to prove you're a United States citizen or you don't get to vote. You vote on election day. You walk into a booth, cast your vote, and the elections are certified that day, period. But with the Democrats in power, I doubt fair elections will exist anytime soon. I'm Pierce Crawford, and welcome to the Crawford Press. Hello and welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It is so great to have you here. Hey, if you ever have a comment about the show or a question for me, please send me an email at crawfordcoffee@protonmail.com because I genuinely want to hear from you. I want to get your comments, what your feedback. I want to make the show better for you. Anyhow, probably from the opening, you can tell where this show is going to go today. So let's get into the headline. California sues Huntington Beach over new voter ID law that was backed by the majority of its residents. Attorney General Rob Bonta and Secretary of State Shirley N. Weber are challenging the new voter ID requirements that were to be instated by 2026. In their lawsuit, they are arguing that this move by the Orange County City unlawfully conflicts and is preempted by state law. In a statement by the Attorney General, he stated the right to freely cast your vote is the foundation of our democracy, and Huntington Beach's voter ID policy flies in the face of this principle. In a Fox News article, statements further say that he argued the state elections already contain robust voter ID requirements, with strong protections to prevent voter fraud. The new requirements would disproportionately burden low-income voters, voters of color, young or elderly voters, and people with disabilities. In response, City Attorney Michael Gates stated the people of Huntington Beach made their voices clear on this issue, and the people's decision on March 5th ballot measures for election integrity is final. To that end, the city will vigorously uphold and defend the will of the people. I think it's important to note that the registered voter count is 54,000 to 41,000 in favor of Republicans, and the measure passed with 53% of the vote. According to Ballotpedia, as of April 2024, 35 states required voters to present identification in order to vote at the polls on Election Day. Of these states, 24 required voters to present identification containing a photograph, and 11 accepted other forms of identification. the remaining 16 states did not require voters to present identification in order to vote at the polls on Election Day. Those are the facts. Now let's jump into my analysis. Election integrity matters. That's the main point. The main arguments on the opposing side is that voter ID laws hurt specific groups of people, and voter ID doesn't even work in preventing fraud. Those statements in a way seem contradictory under the surface because voting is a privilege, because we live in a democratic republic unlike other countries. In order to do anything in this country, you need a form of identification. Everyone should have a state-issued license of some kind or passport so you can identify yourself. Opponents of this bill just seem like they don't want to say the quiet part out loud. They want people who are most likely to vote for them, the people that shouldn't be able to vote, to eventually sneak into the booth. Even if we take their argument that voter ID doesn't work, it doesn't prevent fraud in any way. We have an election integrity belief problem, and we need to do anything possible to restore confidence in our elections. And this truly is a great first step forward. I stand by Huntington Beach proudly, and I hope this case goes their way. With kind of the new format I'm going for here, where I'm really focusing on one topic, and that leads into the headline, I thought it was good to add a new segment to the show. Extra, extra, read all about it. And this is where I take a story that just isn't on topic with what we're discussing here, but I want to give my quick thoughts on. Lockheed Martin has won the U.S. missile defense contract that is worth $17 billion. They will develop the next generation of interceptors, defeating current ballistic missile threats and future technological advances from countries including North Korea and Iran, according to the Jerusalem Post. What is fascinating about the headline is really not the headline. No one cares about the contract, generally. What matters is two things that are true because of this headline. One, the United States is genuinely concerned about an incoming war, whether it is Iran, North Korea, or China even, which isn't even mentioned. Second thing is, I wonder how much insider trading in Congress happened prior to this being announced. An article from Business Insider back in 2022 brought up that at least 20 federal lawmakers or their spouses held stock in Raytheon Technologies and Lockheed Martin, which manufacture the weapons Western allies are sending Ukraine to fight Russian invaders, according to an insider analysis of federal financial records. And that number could have easily gone up. We really need to deal with the war profiting piece of this American empire. I mean, the last time it really felt publicly known was, I think, during the Bush and Cheney administration, where the entire war on terror saw the profits from these Pentagon contracts. And really, here they go again. Lockheed, congressmen and women inside trading, while we are all just praying that inflation goes down so we can afford to buy milk and eggs and fuel up our Toyota Camry, they are profiting over our servicemen and women's lives and our tax dollars. It is truly sickening. I talked about this on the show yesterday. We really need to get rid of these career politicians, and fast. Our next generation will have nothing left when they take over from the soon-to-be long-dead, buried 6 feet under electorate. This problem has truly just gone on long enough. Now to the editorial notes. You know, sometimes I do wonder what will be the controversy that will rocket ship this show off, if it does. Whether or not of the previous statements, I will still be here saying how I feel, as that is the most important part of all of this, creating a dialogue. Yes, I have a very Christian, traditional, conservative point of view on the world, but it truly is how I believe. It is the best way to move this country forward in my mind. I mean, I was talking with my friend John about this the other day, about how far we have fallen from the standard that is the American dream. 1950s and 60s, a man working 5 days a week, one income, could support a family of four with middle class standard of living. Even on minimum wage, people lived well. Now I work 50 to 65 hours a week, and I don't know if I'll be able to afford a home between just me and my wife. How we allowed the government to take advantage of us in taxes and spending and rates is just insane to me. People will often say they were born in the wrong generation, and I think that is just a fallacy. You were born in the right generation. But if you have the same desires that I do to go back to a simpler time, I mean, this is just the driving factor that you have to move this country forward in the right direction. I really hope and pray at least that that's how we'll use it. Anyhow, I thank you so much for listening to the Crawford Press. If you could give the show a follow on your preferred podcasting platform, that truly would mean a lot. I'm Pierce Crawford, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.